There was a young couple named Dave and Carol. And if there are any Dave and Carols in the audience here, that I'm not speaking about you. But there was a young couple named Dave and Carol. And they were great folks, but had never learned to read. They had recently confessed their faith in Jesus Christ and were baptized. They were wanting to be more involved in the activities of the church that they were attending. And they regularly attended the Sunday school class for young married couples. And they learned that in this particular Sunday school class, all the men wore the same shirts, which they would often wear during certain group activities. Now, wanting to be a part of the group, Dave was eager to get his matching shirt. So Carol made one for her husband. But after the next meeting, Dave came home disappointed. He had his shirt, but at the meeting, he noticed that all the men had little emblems on their shirts. Dave's was plain. So Carol, undaunted by her inability to read, sewed three words, which she copied from a sign in a store window across the street. Dave wore it at the next meeting. This time when he came home, he was bubbling with joy. He said all the men really liked the inscription that Carol had put on his shirt. They said it really described the wonderful change they had seen in his life. It turned out that his wife had sewn "under new management" on his shirt. Under new management. All of us who by God's grace have professed our faith in Christ Jesus can say that we are under new management. Amen? It seems that in today's scripture, Paul is trying to build the foundation for his arguments to the church in Ephesus. And to do that, he reminds the people of the church, where they came from, who they used to be, and the life they used to be a part of. Now, I don't know exactly, I don't know about you, but sometimes I need to be reminded of where I come from. Amen? Now, you probably know exactly what I'm talking about, but I'm not saying a geographical place, right? I am talking about a spiritual place that we used to allow our lives to be. And I just want to take some time here to look through a couple things in this scripture. And I meant to say this beforehand, but please feel free to follow along in your Bibles so you wouldn't put them away. I apologize about that. So, Paul tells the church. Now, you have to understand, he is writing this letter to people who have given their life to Christ, and some of them were the first in that area, probably, to give their lives to Christ. They were gathering as a church, and he says, "You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived." Right? So he's just stating a fact, probably one that they agreed with, that, you know, before they came to Christ, they were dead through the trespasses and sins in which they once led because they followed the course of this world, right? Following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work, still at work around them in Ephesus, right? Still at work around them among those who are disobedient. All right? So he's setting this foundation up for everyone. He says, all of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh. We can bring that to today, can't we? All of us once lived among those folks in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses. Now, you have to admit, even after you accept Christ as the Lord and leader of your life, it is still really hard not to do that, isn't it? It is still really hard not to do that. Following the desires of flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath. Well, I don't know if I was children of wrath, but, right? We were children of wrath like everyone else. but God. You know, that's an interesting beginning to a sentence, isn't it? But God. Because all I ever hear at the house is, but Dad, it should be like this. But Dad, why? Right? Anyone who's raised kids has heard that, correct? At least I hope I'm not the only household, but here's that. So Paul is saying this is the way we were, right? Following the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses, we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else, but God. Let's all say that together. But God. Right? What does but mean? With one T, guys. What does but mean? Right, so, you know, maybe I'm going this direction, but I'm going to go in this direction, right? So, but God, and who is this God? What is it? What does Paul tell us about this God? But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. And then Paul says something that he's going to come back around to, right? By grace you have been saved. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace. I kind of wonder if this is might not be the, you know, ages to come, right? Riches of His grace and kindness toward Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not the result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are what He has made us, created in Christ Jesus. Why does Paul tell us we were created in Christ Jesus? What does he say? Created in Christ Jesus for... So let's all read that together. For starting at verse 10 there. See it? For we are what He has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Now, wait a minute. He's talking to a church. And they are gathered together as followers of Jesus Christ, right? And He is telling them, we are what He has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You see, this is the way we used to be. This is the way it used to be. But you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Does that make sense to everybody? Now, you, those who have accepted Christ as the leader, you're awesome, and Lord of your life, right? Are a new creation. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. All right? So when we think about this scripture, Paul is saying he's writing to Christians, or people that at least call themselves Christians, and he is reminding them of where they came from. And he's saying, folks, you got to live different than the way you used to live, because that's not you anymore. Everybody understand that? Something that really irritates me, however, is that baggage that we accumulate. Can I get an amen on that? I'm not here alone, am I? Even though a person is under new management, so to speak, right? It seems that as we live in this world, we collect baggage. Do you understand what I mean? Whenever I was thinking about this, I thought of Star Wars. And remember when they're flying through space and they release all their trash? It's like they reverse the magnetism on their ship, you know, and they release all their trash. And that's the way the guys escaped. You remember what I'm talking about? All right. It kind of like that. All of us, it seems like as we go through life, because of the little bit of gravity that our body produces, right, everything just kind of collects on us, right? And we have to, at some points in our life, get rid of that. let all of that go. Be free the way God wanted us to be free. The fact that we are created in Christ Jesus, or God's original masterpiece, as the NIV puts it, begins to get clouded by things like anger, right? By things like comparing yourself to others. That's been one of my hardest. How about white lies that make you look better than you really are? I know you all never do that. I'll just move on. How about laziness? Keep moving on, okay. How about lust? For all you type A personalities out there, how about trying to control God instead of allowing God to control you? How about those secret sins? You know, those things that you think and do when no one else is around. We allow these things to collect on us, to cover what God created in Christ Jesus. And we begin to believe the lie, don't we? Or maybe we just simply forget who we are. And we look in that mirror and we hate what we see, don't we? We begin to believe that this is really what we're worth.
Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship, His masterpiece. I don't know about you, but when I get up in the morning and look in the mirror, I don't really see a masterpiece, you know? I mean, maybe a Picasso. It's like, but I want to be His masterpiece. I want to be everything He created me to be. And so I go to Him in prayer and I say, Dear Heavenly Father, do whatever it takes to mold me into the image of Your Son. Make me Your masterpiece. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hi.
Whoa. Who are you?
I'm God. You said the prayer, so here I am.
You're not God.
No, I am. You said the prayer. That's how it works.
Okay. If you're God, then make it snow in here.
You know what? I really don't want to make it snow in here because it'd get kind of yucky.
Yeah, you're not God.
Why do you say that?
God wouldn't say yucky.
I do. It's a Greek word.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, what does Lamentations 15:9 say?
Lamentations is only 5 chapters. It's a very short book.
Oh, why was it so short?
I was tired of lamenting.
Oh, okay. If you're God, who's going to win the World Series this year?
I'm really not into playing games. Why are you so much into playing games?
You are God.
What gave it away?
You answered my question with a question.
I did? Yeah, I do that, don't I? I did it again. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, what are we doing?
I'm going to make you into my original masterpiece. This is the process.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Wait. What are these about?
These are the tools I'm going to use to make you into my original masterpiece.
Okay. Yeah. Hang on.
Yeah.
I thought you were a carpenter.
That's my son. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay. Oh, hey, God.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know what to chisel away and what to leave?
I take out everything in your life that doesn't belong there, kind of like dead weight.
Ooh, speaking of dead weight, could you chisel right here? It showed up when I was in my 20s and grew around and became back fat. I don't even know why you created that, but I can't get rid of it. I mean, I've tried everything. Like, I tried running, I tried lifting weights. My wife actually talked me into trying Pilates. That was awkward. But I can't get rid of it. So if you would just chisel around here, and then, you know what, if you chisel a line right here and maybe 4 to 5, maybe 8 lines right here, that would be awesome.
You're funny.
You made me that way.
I also made the platypus.
The platypus.
All I'm saying is most of my children, when it comes to this process, they just want to talk, but they don't want to do the work. So do you want to talk or can I chisel? Talk, chisel.
No. I choose to chisel.
All right. Through my Holy Spirit, I'm going to bring up things in your life that I want you to work on. Like your anger. I created the emotion, but you use it in the wrong way. compare yourself to others instead of me. You tell little white lies because you want to people please. You're lazy. But you try to fool everybody by looking really, really busy. You have a problem with lust? Well,
time out. I don't really have a problem with lust.
You don't have a problem with lust?
No, I can do it anytime I want.
Hang on a second. I mean, I got to admit, I feel like you've been doing some great work, and I'm looking pretty good right now.
All right, when you look in the mirror, who do you see?
I see me.
Okay, then I need to keep chiseling away because ultimately you and other people need to see my son.
Okay, don't misunderstand me. It's just when I look more like Jesus, people get uncomfortable around me. I mean, even my church friends, and they're like, oh, you're holier than thou, you know? And I don't think I'm supposed to make people uncomfortable.
So what you're saying is you'd rather play God in certain areas of your life than for me to be God over your whole life.
That is not what I said.
It's what you meant.
Yes, it is. It's hard to talk to you. You know everything that I'm thinking. I'm just saying you've done some great work. Maybe we take a break, a sabbatical from each other, you know. I'll stay right here and then, you
know. That's just it. You never just stay right there. You're either moving toward me or away from me, but never you just stay. What you're doing is called control. Do you want to control things in your life or can I chisel? Control, chisel, control,
no, chisel. No, chisel.
All right.
But can we chisel where I want?
That's called control.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Now this right here, this secret sin that you keep running to whenever you're hurting, angry, lonely, tired, that you think you're fooling everybody, but it's making you a whitewashed tomb. Are you ready for me to chisel this out of your life?
Yeah.
See, it's a process. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's your whole life. And you care so deeply about what other people think of you. It's rubbish. It's garbage. The greatest thing you're ever going to hear is at the end of your life when you hear me say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what you keep your eye on. That's the prize. Heavenward.
Oh, that hurts.
Oh, trust me. This hurts me more than it hurts you.
Right. Okay. I'm sorry. I don't think you understand this pain.
Pardon me?
You're asking me to sacrifice a lot, God.
Don't talk to me about sacrifice. I know all about sacrifice. I sent my son to die on the cross for pain, for sin, but I also did it for another reason, to give you freedom. Do you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. And there are things that you've been doing for years, these empty wells that don't have anything to offer. You've been going to them and it's insane. Allow me to chisel them out of your life. Allow me to produce character where you keep focusing so much on your image.
Okay, but I was thinking.
Your thoughts are not my thoughts.
Okay, but if we went another way.
Your ways are not my ways.
Oh, I can't.
You can't what?
I can't be good.
That's your excuse. That's your excuse is that you can't be good.
It's not an excuse. I can't.
Oh, my child. In the beginning, I said it was good. I made you good. Be good.
Yeah. But you and I both...
What?
Nothing.
No, what is it?
Nothing, okay? You wouldn't understand.
I, God of all the universe, wouldn't understand something one of my children has to say. Try me.
It's just, I let you down so many times, God.
No, my child. You were never holding me up. I hold you up with my victorious, righteous right hand. Never the other way around. In this relationship, I hold you up.
Okay. Chisel away. Just be prepared for what you're going to find in there. Because I know who's inside there. Because I get up every morning and I look at him in the mirror, and I hate who I see. Because deep inside there, this little kid who gets up every morning and dresses like an adult. And I go out and I try to do what I'm supposed to do, but I can't, okay? I can't be who everybody else expects me to be. God, I can't even be who I want to be, much less who you created me to be. And so inside is this scared, stupid little kid. But you chisel away, just... be prepared.
You have listened to so many voices, for far too long that were not for me. And you have totally bought into the lie, haven't you? You think you're junk, don't you? When you lay your head down at night after you've done the dance to get the hug, you think you're junk. Listen to me. I don't take time to make junk. How can I show you that my love for you stretches as far as the east to the west? How can I show you that my love for you has no end? I know. Reach in your back pocket.
What?
Reach in your back pocket.
Why?
Are you arguing with me? Reach in your back pocket.
Oh, God.
Yes?
I just meant, God, I'll do that right now.
You're just saying my name in vain.
Come on. It's a name. It's a saying.
It's a name above all names. It's more than a saying. It's more than a name. I want to teach you something about my name. Reach in your back pocket.
Oh, my God.
You know what that is?
Yeah, it's a note. I wrote it when I was in college. How did you get this?
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, read it.
I love Angie.
Other side.
Sorry. Dear God, did I hear you right today? Did I hear you say that you love me? Even though you and I both know I've messed up so many times. Did I hear you say you want to use me? And I feel so useless. If you'll take me and use me, then God, I give you all that I am. Take me. I love you, God.
I love you too. And I love you too much just to leave you where you're at. This salvation that you hold, I don't want it to be some sentimental gush or some head knowledge. I want you to work it out in every detail of your life. And when problems come and chaos happens, don't look at it as a prison, but look at it as a father disciplines his child. A father disciplines the ones he loves.
I know, but it's going to be tough.
Yes, but you bought into the lie thinking everything was going to be easy when you gave everything over to me. There will be trouble in this world, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I want you to do something. I want you to look out there and I want you to say, Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Tommy is God's...
No, not the way you see yourself or you try so desperately for others to see you, but maybe for the first time in your life, the way I see you, the way I created you.
Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Yes, you are.
And so are you. God doesn't make junk. You are an original masterpiece.
When you look in the mirror, what do you see? My prayer today is that from now on, when you look in the mirror, you begin to see God's new creation in Christ Jesus. From now on, whenever you look in the mirror, my prayer is that you will stop believing the lies. During communion today, I want to use this as a time for you to bring your luggage, the lies, all those things. Bring them to the front and leave them here. And when you get up from the altar after taking the wonderful gift that God has given us to remind us of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, I want you to leave all that here and become a new creation in Jesus Christ. I want everyone to say, and you have to put your name in here. I don't want it. If the Pentecostals come by, they might think we're speaking in tongues, which is great. You know, that's all right. Do Methodists speak in tongues? Right? That'll be the word all around town this week. Right? So, but here we go. I want you to say your name is God's original masterpiece. Okay, now. Yeah, the preacher's asking me to say this. I'll do it. Do you think that's what I'm wanting? I want you to believe that. And I'd rather you not say anything if you don't believe it. But there's only one way that you can start believing it. And that's keep telling yourself that I am God's original masterpiece over and over again. So I want you to put your name in there, original masterpiece. Let's all do that together. Eric is God's original masterpiece. Let's do it again. You have been created new in Christ Jesus. You are God's original masterpiece. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much. We cannot even understand the sacrifice that was made for us. But now, Lord, as Dan has said when the service began, nothing on heaven and earth can separate us from your love in Jesus Christ. Nothing. Nothing that we have ever done can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Dear God, I pray that as we live throughout this week, that you will remind us over and over again, and maybe we'll even get sick of it, and then maybe we'll really listen, that you'll remind us and remind us and remind us that we are your original masterpiece. And all of God's people said, Amen.